وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. As always, جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء for all your beautiful duas, Hazrat Maulana Salim Saab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest blessings on you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Iza jaa nasrullahi wal fath wa ra'aytan nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the conquest of Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded from Mar-e Zahran. He ordered Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to proceed to the mountain with Abu Sufyan so that the latter can see the true extent of the Muslim army. When the tribes began passing them one after the other, Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was astounded by the large numbers and said, "Your nephew's kingdom is really vast." So Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, "This is not kingship, it is prophethood. Glory be to Allah." What an enlightening reply. The flag of the Muhajirin was held by Hazrat Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala an, and the flag of the Ansar by Hazrat Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala an. When the latter passed by and saw Abu Sufyan, he was overcome by vim and vigor and said, "Al-yawma yawmul malhama, al-yawma tastahillul Kaaba." Today is the day of fighting. Today, fighting and killing will be lawful in the Kaaba. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu became terrified and asked about the identity of these people. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, "These are the armies of the Muhajirin and Ansar, among whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present." When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by, Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "O Rasulullah, did you order Sa'ad ibn Ubadah to kill your own people?" He then quoted Hazrat Sa'ad's statement and said, "O Rasulullah, I beseech you in the name of Allah and our family ties. You surpass everyone in kindness and maintaining family ties." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ya Aba Sufyan, al-yawm yawmul marhama, yu'izdullahu fihi Quraysha." O Abu Sufyan, today is the day of mercy. Allah will honor the Quraysh today. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then ordered the flag to be taken from Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala an and given to his son Qais radiallahu ta'ala an. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. O Allah, send salutations and peace forever and ever to your beloved Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best creation of all. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then entered Makkah through Qada'ah and paid particular and absolute respect and reverence for the Kaaba Sharif while entering. He entered humbly with his head lowered and not like the entry of the royalty. The Sahih Bukhari narrates from Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiallahu ta'ala an, "I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entering on the day of the conquest of Makkah. He was on his camel and reciting Suratul Fatah in a melodious tone, while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed happiness, joy, and enthusiasm at the time of this glorious conquest, the effects of humility, modesty, and an unassuming nature were visibly seen on his face. He was mounted on his camel, and his head was lowered to such an extent that his blessed beard was touching the wooden section of the saddle. His attendant Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala was sitting behind him. Anas radiallahu ta'ala narrates, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah as a conqueror, all the people were staring at him, but he had his head lowered out of modesty and humility. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the day of the conquest of Makkah, "This is what Allah had promised me." He then recited the surah, "Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath," when the help of Allah comes and victory. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was thinking of the time when he emigrated from this city in a state of helplessness and powerlessness. He had to flee from the enemies and leave all alone. Now the time has come when he is entering it with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with full force and as a great conqueror. This is the bounty of Allah, which he bestows on whomever he wills. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed Qada' and entered from the upper section of Makkah. He ordered Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu to enter from the lower section of Makkah, and Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu from the upper section. He emphasized on them not to initiate any fighting, but to merely fight the one who attacks them. He then entered with complete respect and humility. When he entered Makkah Mukarrama, he proceeded first to the house of Hani binti Abi Talib. He took a bath and performed 8 rakats of salah, as it was the time of duha, of charged mid-morning. Once peace was established, people were guaranteed peace. They all felt safe and secure, and the conquest of Makkah, Fateh Makkah, was completed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Masjid al-Haram after the conquest and he performed the tawaf. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the Haram, 360 idols were placed around the Kaaba. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed towards each idol with a walking stick and he read the verse, "Ja'a al-haqq wa zahaqa al-batil," the truth has arrived and falsehood vanquished, and each idol would fall face down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was riding his camel when he entered the Haram. He performed tawaf in the same condition. He then called for Uthman ibn Talha, took the key of the Kaaba from him, and had the Kaaba Sharif opened. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered and performed salah inside. This was on the 20th of Ramadan. He then stood at the door of the Kaaba Sharif with the key in his hand and delivered the following sermon. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first general address. He conveyed Allah's message as his vicegerent. This address was not only directed to the people of Makkah, but to the entire world. La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lah, sadaqa wa'dah, wa nasara abdah, hazama al-ahzaba wahdah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah. He is one. He has no partner. He fulfilled his promise, helped his servant, and defeated the army single-handedly. Listen, all claims to pride, acts of revenge, and monetary claims are trampled beneath my feet, except for the supervision of the Kaaba and providing water to the pilgrims. O Assembly of Quraysh, Allah Ta'ala has wiped out the pride and arrogance of Jahiliyyah. All people are from Adam alayhi salam, and Adam alayhi salam is created from soil. Then he read the following verse of the noble Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa unsa, waj'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, inna allaha alimun khabir. O people, we created you from a male and a female, and we made you into groups and tribes so that you may recognize each other. Surely the noblest of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. Allah is all-knowing and is all-aware. And then he said also, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ حَرَّمَ بَيْعَ الْخَمْرِ. Surely Allah and his messenger have made transactions involving alcohol impermissible. Tawheed is the foundation of all deeds and beliefs. and the fundamental message of Islam. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commenced with it. If a person killed another, the Arabs considered it a tribal right to avenge his death. If the killer was not apprehended immediately, the name of the one who was killed was entered in the tribal register, and the duty of avenging his death was carried out even after many years. If the killer passed away, they would kill a person from his family or tribe. In like manner, the demand for blood shedding would continue from generation to generation. Avenging the blood of another was considered to be one of the most admirable practices in Arabian society. Many other baseless things were included amongst the admirable practices of the tribe. Islam came to wipe out all such practices. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said with regard to the practice of revenge, blood shedding, and all other baseless practices, they are all trampled under my feet. Differences in rank and position among the Arabs and other nations were established on the basis of lineage, ethnicity, family, and tribe. This is similar to the Hindu practice of having four levels in society. The lowest among them are the Shudra, who are considered to be equal to animals. They impose certain obstacles on them which prevented them from ever aspiring to reach a higher level. The greatest favor which Islam did to the entire world was the establishment of general equality. That is, the Arabs, non-Arabs, noble, ignoble, kings and slaves are all equal. Every person can progress to the highest level. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the Quranic verse in this regard and then explained it as follows. All people are from Adam alayhi salam, and Adam alayhi salam is created from soil. After the sermon, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the crowd and saw the tyrants of the Quraysh in front of him. There were those who were at the forefront in trying to obliterate Islam, those who used to hurl verbal abuses at him, those who uttered obscenities at him, those who threw stones in his path, those who caused his feet to be soaked in blood when he used to address people, those whose thirst could only be quenched by the blood of prophethood, those whose attacks used to strike the walls of Medina, and those who used to place the Muslims on the burning desert sand and brand their chests with burning embers. For mercy to the world, sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at them all and asked in a stern tone, "Do you know what I'm going to do to you?" Although these people were tyrants and merciless, they were very perceptive of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's temperament, and they replied, "Akhun kareem, wabnu akhin kareem. You are a noble brother and the son of a noble brother." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the words of Yusuf alayhi salam, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Idhabu fa'antum tulaqa. There is no reproach on you today. You may go. You are all free." The unbelievers of Makkah had taken possession of the houses of all the muhajirin. It was now the time to regain their rights for them. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them to give up all their claims over their properties. Inshallah, we shall continue on the chapter of Fateh Makkah and the conquest of Makkah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's treatment towards those people who inflicted so much difficulty and persecution on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ashab. Let us learn from the wonderful life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the general amnesty that he had given the people at that time, the mercy that he had shown. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.